Jerseys of Hope is a nonprofit committed to inspiring a sense of community and well-being in hospitals through the donation of athletic jerseys to be worn by patients rooting for their favorite team. In the past 7 years, Jerseys of Hope has given out over 2,000 jerseys to lift the spirits of hospital patients. They have impacted the needy in 4 countries and 11 states. Please visit jerseysofhope.org to learn more. We're so honored to partner with Jerseys of Hope and be a small part of the large impact they make.
Let my tree bear good fruit so I can be used by you.
Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my Jerseys of Hope Studios in Columbus, Ohio. Special guest today. Had a former guest and friend of mine tell me, you've got to talk to this guy. And so, I'm just so honored that you're on today. Do you mind introducing yourself? And we'll go from there.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Aaron, for having me on the podcast and for those listeners. We'll talk about a lot today. And my encouragement is just grab one thing and look to implement it and then maybe add something else. Because I know I listen to a lot of podcasts. I can always be overwhelmed by new ideas, new insights. But yet, if it just grab one thing to implement, you know, there's no shortage of information, but there can be a shortage of implementation for sure.
Mm.
And so that'd be my encouragement. And really, that's kind of a story of my life is because I just have made a bunch of different pivots. I had a corporate career, civil engineer by degree. And then now I'm a full-time executive coach and keynote speaker. So I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing now, but just due to a change here and there along the way, that's what I'm doing. I live in Cincinnati, married, 3 kids. You and I were talking about some of our kids in colleges before we hit record. So married, 3 kids, and just grateful that I get to come alongside leaders and help activate them to win at home and win at work. And that's my life purpose. And that's what I'm doing and having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Well, and you came very highly recommended. And we were talking about this offline, but we're friends on social media and have been, I think, for years, and we're not sure why. So you gotta love the like button or the follow button on social media. But yeah, man, I'm very excited to have you on. It is funny when I was looking at your site and the book, and I can't wait to talk about the book. I was so interested in it. Our career paths have been very similar. So in one way, I don't have my master's or anything like that, but just the corporate world. And making that move all the way up the ladder and kind of getting to the top and achieving that. And so I'm very interested to just hear, can we start with there? Like the whole corporate thing and how you just made your way all the way to the executive suite.
Yeah. And I loved my corporate time. I never thought I would do anything different in corporate. I mean, it was not on my radar. As I mentioned, civil engineer by degree out of University of Missouri. I started civil engineering career in Kansas City, like, you know, designing airport pavement and, you know, real, real sexy stuff and sitting in a cubicle, designing the thickness of pavement and the contour lines. I just didn't like it. Amazing company I worked for. I just did not enjoy the civil engineering. I found another job in the civil engineering space where I sold civil engineering products like bridges and storm sewer. So it was a blend of my civil engineering degree, technical knowledge, and sales, which is what I came to really love. Did that in Kansas City, had success, got promoted, moved to Denver, Colorado, where I managed a bunch of people in states. And then I got promoted, moved to Cincinnati, where I was vice president of a $120 million division.
Wow.
And I don't say that to brag. I just say it to give some context because the division I was a VP of, we were the largest EBITDA or profit contributor to a company that's almost $1 billion. So we got a lot of visibility, which is both good and bad. You know, the good is we got a lot of visibility. Things went well. You kind of got the pat on the back. You're the man. And when they didn't go well, got in trouble. And it felt like, you know, I had to have these meetings with the executive team of, you know, why are we falling short? What are we going to do to mitigate the gap?
Yeah.
And I'd have those meetings And Aaron, what would take place is I was starting to take my identity to my job, where if things went well, hey, I'm the man. But if they didn't go well, I was afraid I was going to get canned.
Right.
And how that looked in my personal life is I would skip the gym. I was skipping quiet time. You know, kids playing on the floor. I had my laptop on my lap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. And I went and talked to my boss, who I loved, and just said, hey, I enjoy our time together, but it's not very often because we're flying different parts of the country. Any suggestions? He's like, get an executive coach. I've always had one. I was like, well, I wish you would have told me this sooner.
That's right.
But I got an executive coach and it changed my life. And I know that sounds extreme, but one, it's what I do for a living. But just two, I just looked at life differently. I zoomed out. It wasn't just about a P&L. It wasn't just about a clean email inbox.
Yeah.
But instead, it was about purpose. It was about investing in people. It was making sure I was kind of all the roles of my life well. Father, husband, leader, work, good neighbor. I mean, it kind of became more of a holistic view of life than what I did have. Hmm. I then took another corporate move where I was president of sales for a national contractor. And I led like a coach. I would talk home and work with when I traveled to Nashville, be my sales guy there. Or I traveled to Seattle to be the sales individual there. I was basically talking personal and professional. Are you dating your spouse? Are you being intentional with your kids? And then on the work side, hey, what are your rocks for this quarter? Are you time blocking? Are you time batching? What's the hit ratio on your proposals? I mean, I was doing both and I saw them get better. I was like, I want to do this for a living. And that's a whole nother journey in itself to leave corporate to go into coaching.
Right.
Because like I said, I had some identity, like I was a corporate guy. Mm-hmm. And I was not an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are, you know, risky and that's not me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to unwind some of this identity that I had of being a corporate guy and thinking that was my career for life. But eventually made the move and now it's what I get to do full time.
Wow. So if someone was to contact a career coach, mm-hmm. what does that look like? Is that, I mean, I assume there's a beginning where you just kind of start to get to know one another, you know, make a list of, I don't know, what does that typically look like?
Yeah, I'd clarify one thing, because there are career coaches out there, like the actual word career coaches, and it's kind of like, am I in the right career? Right. Hey, should I go here and do, you know, let's do an assessment on where I'm at and should I get into sales or this. And so it's a little bit different, although I have helped people. Where I really come into play is with, it's combination of business and life coaching. Basically, it's leadership of your whole self. And when someone will reach out, which I have prospect calls all the time, and usually, you know, sometimes we decide we're working together. Other times they're like, no, we're not going to work together. And they'll usually call me variety of different reasons, Aaron. Sometimes they're burned out. Is this really what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? I'm going to be in corporate. I'm going to be a dentist. And I'm going to be owner of this family business. Like, is that really what I'm supposed to be doing the rest of my life? I can't believe that's why I'm here. That kind of thing. In a funk, they feel stuck. I've got other individuals that will come to me. They look great on the outside. They have the job. They have the title. They've got the corner office. But deep down, their life's not that good. Their marriage is in shambles. They are not very intentional with their kids. And basically, schedule's hectic. They don't have peace about who they are. Mm. And then I'd say there's a third category that life is actually going really, really well. They want to make sure they steward their time, talent, treasures well. So they are hiring a coach to help keep them kind of going up and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get all three different types of individuals and then just kind of talk through what it looks like and how I can help. And on that kind of rapid fire, how coaching will work is I don't need to be from their industry. That's a consultant. Mm-hmm. What my job is to get the best performance out of my client that I possibly can. Mm-hmm. By asking questions. Sometimes when they give an answer, I maybe raise the answer a little bit, whatever it may be. You know, like a goofy example of, hey, I want to run a half marathon. Have you thought about just running the full marathon?
Right.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, that's just you know, what weird example that came to mind. So maybe that's for a listener. Maybe some listener needs to go run a full marathon.
My wife just signed up for one today, by the way.
Oh, there you go. There you go. But through reflective questions to the clients, through providing outside perspective, encouragement, but also accountability. And a lot of individuals, when I work with them, what they find to be most valuable is not, I mean, they do like the leadership content, but it's not necessarily that. It's just the encouragement, the outside perspective, because it's leadership's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
And then The other is accountability. You said you're going to call these people since the last time we talked, or you said you'd have this conversation with your boss, or you'd have that difficult conversation with your employee. Did you do it? Yes. You know, it's kind of a yes or no. And if not, why not? Then let's, you know, work to do better. I have had an executive coach myself for about 11 years. That's when I hired my first one.
Wow.
I have the same coach to this day. Mm-hmm. I also have hired other coaches along the way. I hired a mindset coach this fall, and they were awesome. I'm interviewing a couple of coaches right now because I kind of want to turn it up a notch, and I want a coach to help. A good coach will help unlock different possibilities you didn't even know exist.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd write books. I've written 2 books, published them. I never thought I'd write them. I believed the self-limiting belief that I'm a civil engineer by degree. I'm a sales guy by career. I'm not a writer. I got a C in high school English. I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
But yet having a coach to encourage and to, you know, push in a good way. I mean, so that's why I am a coach, to do that to others. That's why I also still pay money to have coaches in my life.
So I was going to ask that, because some things I think people would probably say, I have a good friend that can do that.
Yes. You know
what I mean? But the coach is not necessarily your friend. They're your coach. Almost just like any sports team or playing for a team. The coach, actually, it'd probably be somewhat detrimental to be too good of friends with the coach. I don't know. I'm that's a question in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, a coach is there to coach, not to be your friend. We all have some friends that we can reach out to, maybe when we had a bad day or we're struggling or maybe going through something like that. But the coach, I would think, is a whole nother level of, as you said, accountability and some things like that.
Yes. And I'll kind of, I guess, speak to some of the roles of people in your life, the listener's life, is and what they are. We all need mentors. Mm-hmm. Mentor's not a coach. A mentor is someone who is in a similar line of work of you or whatever you're getting mentored on, but they've done similar things to you. Maybe it's in parenting. Maybe it's in marriage. Maybe they worked in the same industry. You meet with them occasionally. Sometimes they cancel because they travel. They don't necessarily hold you accountable because they aren't taking notes. They didn't remember necessarily everything you said last time. Mm-hmm. They aren't getting paid to show up, so they may cancel, but they're nice encouragers, but they're not necessarily holding you accountable. But we all need mentors. I've got mentors in my life that I'm very grateful for, and that's their role. Some people have counselors. Counselors aren't coaches. A lot of counselors will kind of hang out in the past. You know, tell me about this time in your childhood when that took place. And counselors are awesome, and we need a place for them, but counselors will stay there. Like for me and my coaching, there's times I'll revisit something in your past. Like, you know, why are you that way? Well, my dad was a jerk and I struggle with authority. Okay. But I don't want to hang out back there. I don't want to keep talking about what dad did that was rude or whatever. I want to say, let's acknowledge it, but we got to move forward. What are we going to do in light of that situation? What are we going to do about it to go forward?
Right.
And then small groups. I think I'm all leaders, but men specifically, because men are very lonely and statistics show it, need a small group. You need a community. Lone wolves get taken out. And if you can have a community around you, mine, we meet every Thursday morning. We're talking. It's iron sharpens iron. And that's a benefit. And so everyone should have a small group. That's, you know, that's different as well, because it's not just about you. You got a whole group. You're talking. And then lastly, brings a coach. A coach is getting paid, therefore they're showing up. Mm-hmm. A coach is in the driver's seat, meaning I'm script-based but spirit-led. So I know the content I send my clients through. I've done it with 170-plus clients.
Wow.
Where we talk home and work, and it works. We put together personal vision statements. We put together goals for the upcoming years. We work on different time management skills. The other part about being a coach is, I am a friend as far as I'll show up. I show up to dinner. I've been to baptisms. I've been to birthday parties. I am a friend. Actually, like to meet up with them when I'm in town to grab a beer or whatever, or coffee. However, my job is to make them perform better. And so I will challenge and I will hold them accountable because it's my job.
Yeah. Wow. So the book is called Win at Home First, right? Is that correct?
Two books. First one's called Win at Home First. The second book is called Rise and Go.
Which one came out first?
Yeah. Win at Home First.
Win at Home First came out first. Yeah. And the new one is Rise and Go.
That's right.
Okay. So let's start with Win at Home First. Just quickly, what is that? What does that entail? I mean, obviously the title probably tells a lot of what's in the book. But, you know, I think we go back to something you said. We have more technology than ever, but we're busier than ever. Mm-hmm. You would think with the technology that we have, we would have more time to be able to be on the floor with our kids and not have our laptop on our lap working. But now we have all this technology and it almost requires even more of us because now we're so connected to it all the time, dragging us down. So what does it look like to win at home first in the book?
Yeah, your technology example. We, myself included, that's why I have to put boundaries in place. We have an amazing computer at our fingertips at all times. We want to go aimlessly scroll Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever your social media is, or go check out CNN or Fox or the stocks or the sports, whatever it is. We totally can become passive. So I think one big thing about win home versus being intentional in all areas of your life. Mm. Many leaders will bust their tail from 8 to 5 and then they come home and they kick their feet up. They're passive at home. They're not engaged with their spouses. They're not engaged with their kids. And what I want leaders to know and to truly believe and live into is that our day does not end when we walk through the front door. Our day ends when our head hits the pillow. Mm. And as leaders, you got to do whatever you need to do to adjust. You and I are talking before. I live in Cincinnati. You live in Columbus. If I'm going to drive up to see you, if I'm low on gas, I got to fill back up the tank so I can get all the way there.
Right.
Same thing in our personal and home life. If I'm tired all day, I better figure out what I need to do to fill up that tank so I can be my best self for my family by the end of the night. Does that mean I need to turn the radio off on the drive home and pray, listen to worship music, as opposed to news, sports, or podcast? Do I need to unwind the first 15 or the last 15 minutes of the workday and just stop phone calls and think, maybe journal about the top 3 things from the day? Like, what are the things I need to do so I can walk into my home ready for the family? And then it's also just being intentional, not just checking out on the couch and having a beer in your hand and watching TV, but it's, hey, how can I connect with people? So the book Went Home First, you know, I wrote the book because I lost at home. And I know that leaders can have success in the boardroom and in the family room. And that's why I want to write the book, is to make sure people have the right tools to help them. It's in 4 parts. First part is you. Do you understand your identity? Your identity is not in the corner office. Your identity is a beloved son or daughter of God. The other part of you is, what are your priorities? We use the 5 capitals to help us orient our priorities. Number 1, spiritual, then relational, then physical, then intellectual and financial. Money's not at the top. Money's at the bottom. We know money doesn't bring happiness. And our kids want our presence over our provision. Yes, my kids have new shoes and maybe the new backpack, or they have some of those items. But at the end of the day, they want my presence over the provision. So it's hanging out and going and getting coffee with my college daughter when she's in town, or ice cream with my son, whatever it may be. And same thing for the listeners. Your kids want your presence or provision. The second part of the book is marriage. How are you serving your spouse? Are you pursuing your spouse? Aaron, it's incredible how many clients I start to work with don't date their spouse. Like, hey, when's the last time you went on a date? Oh, we went to on a holiday party. I was like, that's months ago.
That's right.
So, you know, pursuing your spouse, forgiving your spouse, serving, that's what that is about. it's the most important relationship you have. And then leads to the third part, which is parenting. Being both fun, but also holding them accountable. It's truth and grace as you lead your kids. And are you having fun? A big part for us, I'm glad I had a mentor say, always be the truth tellers of your kids. And that's a section of the book where if one of your kids comes and asks you a question, if you don't think that they need to know the answer right now and you kind of punt it, they're not coming back.
Right.
They'll go to recess. They'll get the answer. If they're really young, if they're older, they'll go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And once they find out mom, dad aren't going to give me the right answer, they're not coming to you anymore. So from the beginning, thankfully, my wife and I were on the same page. We would answer them right away. And the cool part about answering them is you can weave in your opinion.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And what God has to say about it, which has been really cool. And because of that, to this day, we have some great deep talks. We know a lot about what's going on. I'm sure we don't know everything going on in their world.
And sure.
I'm sure they're keeping a few things from us, that they're human.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, we know a lot, and what's happening on parties and what have you, I'm grateful for. But it all starts with, are you honest with your kids? Mm-hmm. The fourth part of the book, so we've done you, marriage, parenting, last part's on work.
Mm-hmm.
How do you show up as a leader? Are you equipping and are you empowering your leaders below you to help? And really, Aaron, the whole reason for that chapter is if you equip and empower your team, then you can take the evening off.
Right.
And not be so worried because you trust your team. You've released control to them. So that's the reason for the book. You joked about the title. I do. If I write another book, the title may not be the whole answer before. Because now it's like, went home first. I'm not going to read that book. You didn't tell me to went home first. I get it.
Yeah. Or I'm not doing that. Now I'm intimidated to find out. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But hopefully it sounds like although they're individuals, they're all connected. I mean, they all feed each other. Like you said, you know, with work, if I trust my team, then I can go home at night and now I can be present, like you talked about a little bit earlier too. So I have to think all four of those sections are not independent of one another. They're actually connected to each other.
Absolutely. And Aaron, I'll tell you a story. I had a client that he hired me to work on the business, to help with culture, to help with vision and values. And I remember when he hired me for this gig, he had kind of bragged that he had been married 25 years, which is cool. I mean, that's awesome. When we were talking on our very first call, we were all excited. We were talking in, you know, we're talking about the business. His energy was really high. I started asking questions about the weekend. His energy starts to go down a little bit. I could just sense it and feel it. And he talks about his kids, and him and his kids went to they had some land, and they went to the land and kind of played at the farm that weekend. And I just had this prompting, like, I need to ask about his wife. Like, where was she in all this? And so I asked about the wife, and the energy goes even further down. I was like, oh man. And I got this prompting that I had to say something kind of bold in regard to this marriage. And I said, hey, listen, you hired me to help with vision and values of the company, and we're going to do that. But I can also tell things aren't going well at home. And I believe that you have to win home first in order for work to be successful, sustainable. And we're going to have to talk about home. Is that okay? And there's this long pause when I asked that question. And I got nervous. I was like, oh man, I'm going to get fired from the largest contract I'd ever had up to that point. Like, this is a bummer.
Yeah.
After the long pause, he says, yeah, it's okay. Every day I drive home, I have a pit in my stomach about re-entering into the home. I was like, oh, wow. And so we began the journey. We talked vision and values for the company. We built some cool things and help culture. But we also talked about his marriage and dating his spouse. And they went on dates. They started to go on dates. I remember this one time. We hadn't talked for about a week or so. And he just wanted to let me know that they went on this date, and where they lived, there had been some like high flood waters, and they went down by where the river was to walk and see it. And he told me that they held hands. Like, he, an executive of a 200-person company, is telling me that They had a great date and they held hands. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But that's a reality. That's a reality that many leaders have, is because they commit so much time to work. They put all their energy into work, right? They have strategic meetings. They have their one-on-one meetings with their direct reports. Like all this intentionality, they'll do quarterly reviews and write it up on the whiteboard. But then they come home and they wing it.
Yeah. Wow.
They wing it. They have no vision statement. They don't do intentional one-on-ones with their kids. They don't plan for a date night yet, but they put all this plan into a corporate meeting. Hmm. And our spouses and our kids see that.
Yeah.
They're not blind. They see all the energy we're putting into our work, but yet not into our home.
Wow.
Aaron, I prepared for a keynote one time, and I just kind of had this idea about bosses. Like, how many bosses have I had? And as I'm doing the math, I list out all my bosses. I've had 18 bosses in my career and one family.
Wow. Wow.
And as I thought about that, those 18 bosses, I don't know where some of them live right now. I don't even know if some of them are alive or dead. But yet I know I made sacrifices for those individuals over my family time and time again.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I understand we all have to make sacrifices for work. I mean, I'm sure. Pro work. I am pro. I believe that is part of one of the reasons God made us is to work, is to, you know, be fruitful and multiply and subdue and rule over the earth. Like that is what we are supposed to do and do work of excellence, whatever we do. Mm-hmm. Whether it's coaching, it's writing code, whether it's being a teacher, whether it is, you know, a wealth manager, whatever it is, it's do it of excellence. So I'm pro work, but we just got to be careful. We're not doing all of these work things at the expense of some of the other roles we have in our life.
Wow. That's, you said at the beginning, you were hoping people would take away one thing. Well, there's been multiple. So hopefully people are taking notes, because there's a lot of things you said, even in that statement there, that's incredibly powerful when you think about that. Hmm. So the second book, Rise and Go, different title this time. So I, the thing about Rise and Go is I have no idea what this book's about.
Yeah, I'd have to actually
pick
it
up and look at it.
Yeah.
So what is Rise and Go all about?
Oh, that's funny. Well, Rise and Go, well, for a joke in our family, or at least what I'll say is, if I am to write a third book, you know something bad's probably happened, right? I wrote the book Went Home First because I lost. I wrote Rise and Go because I got knocked down. So if there's a third book, Aaron, that comes out, you may be like, uh-oh, what happened? What happened down there in Corey's life? Rise and Go. The whole through line of the book is all leaders get knocked down. It's just the great leaders get back up quicker. So what could it look like in your life if the next time you got knocked down, you were able to get back up quicker? And I believe that this book is a resource to help you get up quicker, because it helped me get up. It's content I was putting together. My family and I, we made a decision to go all into coaching and speaking. For me, leave corporate. I stair-stepped out of corporate into coaching. But on March 1st, 2020, we went all into coaching and speaking. Well, March 1st, 2020 is not the best time to launch a business.
That's right. Yeah. There was something going on, wasn't there, in the world?
That's right. So COVID happens in one day, March 13th, to be exact. I got some emails canceling speaking engagements, and 35% of my revenue vanished.
Mm.
Now, I know there's some listeners who are like, well, I lost 100%, Corey. And some listeners are like, well, my grandpa died of COVID. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I'm sorry for all that. Many people had worse circumstances than my family. For my family, 35% of revenue is scary, because what's going to happen next to the next 35%? And I just left corporate. Will I be able to go back to corporate? Will my other coaches or other clients fire me? Well, you know, what's going to happen? So I was scared, but I also was mad. I was frustrated at God, because it's like, hey, I thought we did this together. I did my part. I left corporate. I did 50-50. Then I did 75-25, 90-10. Where are you? Mm-hmm. I did my part, but where are you? As I'm frustrated in the summer of 2020, I get just pointed to different scripture. I get pointed to cool stories of resilience, whether through podcasts or just different speakers I had heard. I started to accumulate some content for myself. This wasn't to be a book. This was just content to help me get back up. Mm. Rise and Go is from in the Bible in Acts 8, 9, and 10, which is a book in the New Testament for any listener is unfamiliar with it. But in Acts 8, 9, 10, three different individuals are told to rise and go. So here I am reading this like, rise and go. Maybe I need to rise and go and be bold instead of being my pity party. Then I would see something on courage or on hope or on resilience or on perseverance. And I just would start to write it. And what would happen, Aaron, is it helped me get back up. But then I'd be on a coaching call and someone would be like, hey, Corey, I'm struggling with, I just don't have hope right now. I wrote this earlier this week. Kind of, this is just some thoughts I put together. Give it a look. And they're like, that helped. Mm. So I had 60 clients that year with this was battle tested on, basically. They would ask, I'd share. And I was like, well, there's a book here. And it's 20 chapters. First 10 chapters are give you the courage to get back up. The next 10 chapters are to give you the confidence to move forward. All the chapters are pretty short. They have some scripture. They've got stories. They've got reflective questions and content to basically help and be repeatable and memorable. And it's been fun. It's been a fun, both those books have been fun to see the impact they had in others just because we're all going through the same junk.
Right.
Right. All of us are. All of us get knocked down. All of us have struggles in our marriage from time to time. All of us have teenage kids that are rolling their eyes or people that aren't listening or friends that don't seem to be texting us back fast enough. We all are dealing with those same self-limiting beliefs. And so these two books have been helpful to, well, obviously to me as I was writing them, but also just to clients and to friends and other readers. So anyways, to the leaders, to the listeners, if there's one of them, grab a hold of it and I pray it's impactful and you find value in it to help you move in the right direction.
Well, again, I can speak for somebody that heard you speak on these topics and he was blown away. And that's why he said, hey, you got to get Corey on. So we can testify there. There's a testimony from somebody who has actually heard you speak and been to an event where you were featured, yeah. I do believe. So where can people find you?
A few places. My website, Corey. M as in Michael Carlson.com. Everything's there as far as I have blogs, I've got podcasts, interviews, books, courses. It's all right there. And then also, I'm on all social media, but LinkedIn's where I like to hang out.
Yeah.
And as we started the episode, you and I are friends on LinkedIn. I enjoy LinkedIn. Yeah. I really do. I've met friends. I've found clients there. I became clients to people because of LinkedIn, kind of all of the above. It's a good spot. So reach out to me there, message me, and love to connect with anybody and help.
And is that the best place to start if they are interested in some of the coaching or some of the principles that you've talked about? Is that the best place to start that or your website?
Yeah, if you just want to follow me or connect and read things I'm putting out there, yeah, LinkedIn's great. But if you're contemplating coaching, let's just have it's a free 30-minute call. Just we'll talk and I'll see if I can help. And I guarantee the listener that you will walk away from the call with value. Like we'll talk about something and through our discussion, you'll have a couple action steps to take to improve whatever that is in your life.
And we've, I think, done that already on this episode today. I know you've given some action steps and some things that I have a feeling are going to trigger, some actions in people's lives that have listened. I hope. I know I've got a few. I can't wait to listen back and make some notes myself. I don't typically take notes while I record because I want to be fully engaged in listening to what my guest has to say. So I am going to go back and listen and take some notes. And so I encourage people to do the same as well. I'll ask you one last question. What would you tell your younger self?
There's probably a few things I tell my younger self. I think one habit I would have told my younger self is I wish I would have been more diligent about scripture and reflection sooner. Man, the power of journaling and reflecting, it has been so powerful. I won't go through all the story, but my daughter and I in 2020 were at an event, and I guess I will share some of the story. 2020, at an event, we're in a pair. We start out the evening sharing answers to some different prompting questions. What are you celebrating? What do you, what are frustrations? What are challenges? And she goes first and she gives me all of her answers. And at the time she was 16 years old, they're great answers. Talked dance and talked about what was going on in high school, thoughts of college. And I'm an emotional dad, so I was getting teared up. Mm-hmm. Well, then it's my turn and I gave all my answers. And then she, I was like, hey babe, what do you think? And she's like, Dad, you're the smartest person I ever met. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't say that at all. She goes, Dad, you sound angry. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Like, what do you mean I sound angry? So we unpacked my answers and all my answers were, I've had great speaking engagements, but I want more, more, more. I've had cool clients, but I want more, more, more. I published a book, but I want to publish more, more, more. A 16-year-old could tell that I was more focused on the unchecked boxes of my life than the check boxes.
Wow.
That it was more important for me just to like go on to the next thing than even acknowledge or celebrate what has been accomplished. And so what came out of that, a few things came out of that. I came home from that trip, and every night since then, I've missed a few, but every night since then, I've written down three things I'm grateful for in the day. Mm. Three wins. They could be big wins. I got a new client. I had a killer speaking engagement. I was on an awesome podcast with Aaron. Or it could just be something else. Like I had a cool conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mowed the yard because right. It needed it. Yeah. And whatever it may be, but it's just give me a look of the joy and what I'm having in life. And I was, God pointed me a scripture. We never even talked about it before this. If there's much faith on your podcast. So
sure.
But God pointed me to scripture in Genesis. And at the end of every day, God said it was good during creation. And what God was showing me in that is after end of every day, he said it was good. He didn't say, man, I got land and the sea divided, but man, I didn't get to the animals. Yeah. And I don't know when in the world I'm going to get to the humans.
Right.
That's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
No, it was to be content with the progress of the day.
Mm.
And now that doesn't mean I get to slack off and just be all, hey, you know, yeah. I got, you know, pizza today. That's a win. No, I mean, I still work hard, but it helped me understand that I control the input. God controls the impact.
Yep.
If I work hard on what I'm supposed to do, take joy in whatever those accomplishments are from that day, the progress that is made is to celebrate that and not just be so focused on the gap.
Mm. I love that. Wow. This has been amazing. It's funny. I've always said and was told, I control the inputs, God controls the outcome. I actually like what you said. I control the inputs, God controls the impact. That's very, very interesting because I think that perspective, I know that's helped me a lot when everything gets a little upside down or sideways. You say, you know, I control the inputs.
Yeah.
You know, I got to control what I can control. But at the same time, I trust God for the outcome. I trust him for the impact. I like that word very much as well. Man, this has been awesome. CoreyMCarlson.com is the best place. And then you said you hang out at LinkedIn. That's a really good place as well. It's funny in social media how you find your place, that you find your people and your connect. And I know there's a lot of bad in social media, but there's also some good. And each one of those sites, when used for, I think, the original intent and purpose, can be very fulfilling and you can meet a lot of amazing people. Yeah. So,
And just with that, even with an amazing social media, I still have boundaries on there. Mm-hmm. I put a time limit on the day because I just don't want to aimlessly scroll. There's some days I will just type in my password and override the time limit, but most days I honor it.
Yeah.
And that helps me. I try to do time batching where I only look at social media at certain times of the day. And that's been helpful. Some days I mess that up too.
Right.
But as a whole, it's a great tool, but I want to control the tool instead of let the tool control me.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Man, this has been so good. I appreciate your time so much. I'm so honored that you would come on. And one last time, two books. You can get those at CoreyMCarlson.com. You can also find you on LinkedIn. And I have a feeling most of the content, it looks like you can subscribe to a newsletter or get blog posts or things like that through the website as well. Is that right?
Yeah, if they subscribe to the website right now, there's always different free things that we do. Right now, it's 10 ways to win at home and work.
There you go.
So I've got 5 cool tips for home and 5 at work. Like a work one is every leader needs to have at least 30 minutes to an hour of think time during the week where they're just focused on the business, not in the business. That was pivotal to my career, making some changes where I just focused on the big 3 items that I needed to help grow. And it worked. This is when I was a product manager for underground detention systems. There's pipe that stores water underneath your big parking lots, like at a Target. There's usually chambers or corrugated metal pipe. And putting focus on that particular product line helped our profitability improve. But I never would have done that had I not blocked out think time, because I would have been lost in my email inbox.
Right. Love it. All right, everybody, go to the website, check it out, get more information there. Thank you so much again. This has been a true honor, and I look forward to speaking to you again. I really do, when you get that next book written.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, but Aaron. I appreciate it.
Not the season beforehand, not the valley that may you know, lead to that book.
That's right.
No, I do. I look forward to speaking to you again.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Aaron. Thanks for having me on, and I just appreciate it a ton.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.